You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. One day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All of humanity will bow before and acknowledge the Lordship of Christ. I'm continuing my eternity series, and I'm talking about the final judgment. So to start, I just want to recap where we've been going throughout this eternity series. And in order to do that, I need to go over with you the chronological timeline that I've laid down for you. And this chronological timeline highlights major milestones as they pertain to the afterlife and the end times. Now, when you start to study the afterlife, as I said before, you're somewhat forced into also studying the end times. So I'm just going to give you a quick recap, and then I'm going to start talking about where we are here in the lesson, which is the final judgment. So first of all, there's the creation. This is when God forms the heavens and the earth. This is the beginning of time. This is when he creates man. Then there's the giving of the law. Then there is the cross. This is where Christ sheds his blood, allowing for God to forgive the sins of man righteously or justly, because he didn't just save us in mercy, he saved us in justice. So because of the shed blood of Jesus, there was the legal payment given for the penalty of our sins. So God could give to us the righteousness of Christ. Then there is the resurrection of Jesus, the birth of the church. This is where we are right now. We are in the church age. This is where we are charged with spreading the gospel all around the world. Then there is the rapture, the tribulation, which is a seven-year period. Some say half good and half bad. Some say all chaotic. Whatever the case, it's a seven-year period after the rapture and before the return of Christ. Now, at the return of Christ, the Battle of Armageddon takes place. This is when Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, raise an army of nations that seek to go against God, but they are struck down at the Battle of Armageddon. Then, after the enemy is defeated in that way, there is the judgment of nations. This is where all of those who have lived through the tribulation are judged just before the millennial reign of Christ. This is the separating of the sheep and the goats. So, remember that some people are going to give their lives to Christ during the tribulation. And so that separation happens at the judgment of nations. Then begins the millennial reign. This is 1,000 years where Christ reigns and rules with an earthly kingdom. Then, for one more time, Satan is released upon the earth. This is toward the end of the millennial reign. And he's released to deceive the nations again. He raises yet again an army. And this is the final battle. This is where Satan is finally defeated and he is cast into the lake of fire once and for all. And then we see the final judgment. Now remember, the final judgment really is the third judgment. There are three judgments, three major judgments that humanity must face. And I talked a little bit about this a couple weeks ago when I talked about the three judgments. So there is the judgment of the righteous. Now we as believers have what I like to call a spiritual express checkout. As soon as the believer dies, we stand before God, we're judged, we receive our glorified body. Now, the unbeliever doesn't have this privilege. When the unbeliever dies, they go to a holding place called hell. So, the first judgment is the judgment of the believer. This is ongoing. This has been happening ever since righteous people have been dying. And so, when we die, we stand before God, we receive the rewards that Christ paid for with his blood. The second judgment, the judgment of nations, again, this is the judgment of those who've lived during the tribulation, and this separates those who've received Christ from those who haven't during that seven-year period. And those who've received Christ enter into that millennial reign. After the millennial reign, we, of course, have the final defeat of Satan, the final defeat of evil, and the final judgment. And this is where we now pick up the lesson. The scripture says in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, "And I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death, and anyone whose name was not recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So here we see that now those who never received Christ are receiving judgment. Imagine this: when an ungodly person dies without having received Christ, they go to this holding place called hell. And there in hell, they await their resurrection, not unto life, but unto death. And they stand before a holy God with eyes like fire, a God of justice, a God of righteousness. And they know that they are being judged. The scripture tells us that all wrath was poured out upon Christ when God crucified him. And it really was the Lord. It was the Father who crucified Jesus. It was his choice to do it. And Jesus laid down his life. But for those who have not received Christ, there is no appeasement of the wrath of God. Now, I know this isn't popular, and a lot of people don't like to hear this. But the truth is that on Judgment Day, God is going to pour out his wrath on those who have not received Christ. On that final day, they finally receive in full the penalty of their sins. Why? Because they've not been covered in the blood. They've not received God's free gift of salvation. At this point, all the mercy is gone. And they stand before a holy God with perfect memory of what they've done in the past life. And God judges them. And the scripture says they're thrown into the lake of fire. Now, the ungodly, after they're resurrected and they face judgment, experience the terror of a righteous God. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 say, "So you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until what? The day of final judgment. He is especially hard on those who follow their twisted sexual desire and who despise authority. These people are proud and arrogant, daring even to scoff at supernatural beings without so much as trembling." In other words, they were in a holding place, and he keeps them under that holding until the day of final judgment. That is the third and final judgment. Now, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, "But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshipers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Now, again, we read that hell is thrown into the lake of fire. The sea gave up its dead, and death in the grave, or Hades, gave up their dead, and all were judged according to their deeds. Then death in the grave, or Hades, were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. Now, this is forever. This is eternity. This is not something that ceases after a certain period of time. Revelation chapter 4, verse 10 says, "There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." So this truly is both a great and a terrible day. The righteous rejoice in the holiness of God being vindicated, but the wicked are terrified the day of final judgment. I want you to consider this question. If you were to stand before God right now and face him in judgment, how would he judge you? Could you say with confidence, can you say with confidence that you know where you're going when you die? Are your sins forgiven? Are you prepared to meet your Creator? Now, God is a God of love. We've gone over this. God is also a God of justice. Because he is a good God, because he is a loving God, he must judge wickedness. But here's the glorious truth. Revelation 21:1 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone." In other words, God recreates all things. All things can become new. So after this day of final judgment, after all things have come to pass that the scripture prophesies, and everyone has faced their judgment, either you'll spend an eternity in the lake of fire, tormented day and night, or you will spend an eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. Now, what I love about this new heaven and this new earth, I think this is the way that God originally intended creation to be. Because, you know, Adam, I believe, had access to the Father. I believe he had this unprecedented communion and connection with his Creator. And you and I will have that once again. The cosmos will be restored. The universe will be balanced again. Sin will be dealt with. Death will have been dealt with. And you and I can stand with confidence for all of eternity in the love, in the peace, and in the joy that is the presence of God. This new heaven, this new earth that we will receive cannot be described, cannot be comprehended with what we know now. Right now, we're looking at all of this as the scripture describes it, and we don't fully understand it. But it's beyond anything that we could ever imagine, and it's glorious. But that one question remains. Where do you stand? When you stand before God, will you say, I have confidence because I'm not standing before God? Jesus will stand in on my behalf because I've surrendered. I've accepted this free gift of salvation. Or are you one who has stubbornly refused and rebelled? On that day of final judgment, everything comes to an end. And there's a new heaven and a new earth. Will you experience that new life? Will you experience that new heaven, that new earth? Are you ready? This is eternity. I heard a saying, and I wish I knew who said it. But I heard someone say that if you can get someone to consider eternity and contemplate eternity and all of the implications that come with it, if you can get someone to contemplate eternity for just 15 minutes, you can likely get them saved. I want you to understand the finality of this judgment. It is truly forever and ever and ever. That is a great thing and a terrible thing. The only difference between it being great or it being terrible depends upon whether or not you've received Christ. So if you haven't received Christ, I want to tell you, now is the time. When you finally surrender your life to Jesus, your only regret will be that you didn't do it sooner. Hey, this is David Deger Hernandez. I hope that you are enjoying my series, Eternity. Now, this technically is the last installment of the Eternity series. However, next week, I will be doing a Q&A installment for this series in which I take all of the questions that have been sent to us, or I should say some of the better questions that have been sent to us. So be sure to subscribe, like the podcast, share it with your friends, and listen to next week because I'm going to be taking your questions. I'll talk to you then. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.